During your oh-so-proficient searching of the internet or weekly podcast downloading binge, you have stumbled upon Hot Air, the DC Breeze's Ultimate Frisbee podcast. It's a professional team in the AUDL, and my name is Greg Esser. Throughout this season, I want to talk about a lot of different things. I'm going to do recaps of games. I'm going to talk about the current Breeze roster, any developments with the players that are on that roster. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Eastern Division standings in the AUDL. And, of course, at the end of the season, we'll do awards, lookouts, and different looks at stats and that type of things. I'm sure there'll be arguments and over-unders and all these types of things that we touch on throughout the season. Each episode, I bring on one guest. Maybe there'll be an episode I solo cast, but for now, the model is I bring in one guest. This week, Kevin Chang will be joining me. He is a player for Ambiguous Gray, a DC mixed team that went to Nationals last year. In club with USAU. So he knows a lot of these players, and he plays in D.C., and so he'll give me a little, help me kind of get a good outlook on what these players and all the players that have signed for the Breeze in 2016 are going to bring to the table. We talk a lot of stats on this episode, and therefore I'm sure that there are numbers off here or there, or I make outrageous claims that don't really hold any weight or water, and don't get mad and shut off everything. Head over to Twitter. I'm pretty sure that is what Twitter is for, is yelling at people. So I'm the Greg Esser, and feel free to hit me up there. Let me know where I need a correction. Also, follow at the DC Breeze and subscribe to this podcast, because that's what it's all about. That helps me know which direction to go for future shows. And with a lot of rhymes, some turn of phrases in store for you, let's hand it off to the Brook Royals to play our intro music. Hey, this is Greg Esser. You're tuning in to the second episode of Hot Air for 2016. The season is about 1 month away. This week, I am fortunate to be joined by Kevin Chang. Say hello. Get everyone accustomed to your voice, as they'll be hearing it a lot over the next 20 minutes.
How is everybody? Hope everybody's getting excited for the 2016 season for the DC Breeze. I know I am.
So I want to quick start off thanking our sponsors. We've got, of course, Papa John's, Waveborne Sunglasses, our community partner. This year, we're adding on the Rose Physical Therapy Group. We've got, of course, WAFSI, the local Washington Area Frisbee Club, Big Board, the bar on H Street, Oak Creek Apparel, providing not jerseys for the Breeze, but rather all the staff shirts and that type of thing, polos, cool stuff. And I'd also like to thank Atlas Brew Works, which will be available serving up brews at each of the Breeze home games this year.
That's going to be huge.
Is there anything we need to get out of the way up front? I guess I'll tell you kind of what's on tap for this podcast. And forgive me if I'm surprising you now, Kevin, but I know you're a guy that can just, you know, work on the fly.
Yeah, I roll with the punches.
I want to talk kind of through some of the roster decisions, roster announcements that have been made. There's 20 guys up on the DC Breeze website, maybe only 19 actually. I'm not going to count right now, but not quite a full roster, but many big names have been announced. Some of them I talked about last week, or actually a couple weeks ago on the podcast, but I want to get a little bit more in depth. You know, who are these players? What can we expect out of them numbers-wise? And then maybe at the end we'll do a little speculation exercise. There's eight more spots that need to be announced on the Breeze this year. A lot of last year's players have not yet been signed. So we'll have a good time and talk about some of the folks we hope to see donning the Breeze garb in 2016.
There's quite a few.
And last thing I'll say to set up this wonderful podcast is, you know, if you can work in a Breeze pun, you know, just go nuts.
Puns are not really my thing, but I'll do my best. Yeah. I'll give it a effort.
Blow me away. Okay, so let's talk first of all. I think the biggest headline of the offseason has been, you know, three guys that don't even live in D.C. are going to be playing for the Breeze this year.
That's right. That's Goose Helton, Jonathan Goose Helton, Bobby Liu, and Brett Matsuka. Matsuka's been here before, but we're definitely welcoming him back.
Yeah, Brett Matsuoka giving kind of the breeze that, a little bit rare at this point in the early goings of the AUDL, that rare continuity, because he was a breeze player in 2014. So he's a returner. But the other two gentlemen, Goose and Bob, are newbies to the district. And but it's kind of nice, I think, that they're coming as a package.
Right.
I mean, this actually, I think, mirrors a situation for you kind of closely in when you kind of came down to D.C., what, a year, 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Yep. So I came down to D.C., didn't really know all too many people in the area, but I knew Jarnell, who played on the Breeze the past, what, 2 years?
That's right, that's right. Jarnell Bajwa, perhaps, touches on the disc leader and points played leader 2014, and then played a huge role for the Breeze as well last year.
Yeah, absolutely, just a great handler. Can't speak highly of him enough. So, but yeah, so I knew him, and I knew Rachel Thaw, who recently moved away from the area, but trying out for DC teams, I knew that AG was definitely one of the best teams around.
Ambiguously Gray.
Ambiguously Gray, or Ambiguous Gray.
Oh, sorry, yeah, you guys got the SmackDown.
Of course, yeah. I've actually been on three teams that have had to change names because of the USAU. I don't know if that speaks highly of me or USAU, but either way,
you've drawn the ire.
Yeah, I mean, me and you, we played on the team formerly known as Hiva Havas.
Sure.
Now non-existent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's maybe straight to Twitter commentary on the definition of Hiva Hava, or check out an Urban Dictionary site near you.
Yeah. Not safe for work.
Yeah, the Hiva Hava, very rural term, rural Pennsylvanian term, that I would guide people to Urban Dictionary in order to view it.
Right. Yeah.
But so, and back to these three.
Right.
off to a good start here at Hot Air. So you moved down, you knew a few people, but you knew, right, you know, there's a premier, you know, in the conversation for nationals every year, team in Ambiguous Gray. But you knew a couple of the players. So how fast, you know, so if these three guys know each other, that's great. You know, Bob Liu, his second favorite target in the end zone last year was Helton. Right. Helton's a 2-time MVP. We probably should talk more about that in a second. But just in terms of the adaptation to a new scene, how fast did it take you to become comfortable with the rest of your AG teammates? And do you think, you know, what's it going to look like for these three guys?
Honestly, like, pieces fell into place really, really quickly for us. So, I mean, we played really well 2 years ago. Unfortunately, didn't make natties. But this last year, I mean, we gelled really well. And then we had a huge, like, surplus of additions. So, and especially at this top tier level, John and Bobby and Brett, I mean, they're coming into a new system, but they're all supremely athletic. They all have the throws. I mean, Goose is just flat out speed. And then Bobby just, he can put the disc anywhere on the field. So I really don't think it'll be a huge step for them, but there will be some growing pains, which we'll probably see like in the first two games.
Yeah. Which are big games. They just released the season schedule, and those first two games are Ottawa and Toronto. So big, important early games. Hopefully some of those weekend kind of, you know, they come into the city for a 2-weekend tryout, not even a tryout anymore, but like a training camp of sorts.
Right.
Hopefully work out some of those early glitches. I would say that Matsuoka particularly is a bit of an ultimate mercenary at this point.
Oh, yeah.
He's played on a ton of different teams in the last 3 years.
He's just, every single time I like check UltiWorld, it seems like he's in a different city. I absolutely love it. I think it's great for Ultimate just because we do want to see these all-star teams. We want to see superstars pair up with, you know, somebody that they haven't played with and just see these kind of combinations. It's kind of like in the NFL. If you could have, you know, Calvin Johnson, well, I think he's retiring or something like that. But, you know, if you had, like, Tom Brady throwing to Calvin Johnson, that would be awesome to see. And sure, it wouldn't be not in the All-Star game because the All-Star game is, frankly, just kind of, it's a non-hitting sport in the All-Star game and everything like that. So, you know, we want to see those highlight plays. And these are the All-Stars for our, you know, our generation in Ultimate.
I guess my point with him jumping around a lot is I think he may also, you know, be, you know, not only a great player on the field, but like really good at managing these adaptations and learning new teammates' habits and reading the nuances of someone's shoulder turn on the in cut or whatever it is. So I think, you know, I'd have the least worries about him fitting in and finding a groove with a new roster.
Yeah, I don't think Matsuoka is going to feel out of place at all.
So what I will say, and so I glossed over there for a second, the fact that Helton or Goose has won two AUDL MVPs. And okay. in fact, the years that you played and the year that I played, he was the MVP of the league.
Right.
So this guy is just a phenomenal player. Only two players can claim an MVP award in this young league.
Right.
And he's one of them. He's got two of them, which is just absurd.
Yeah. I mean, I remember playing against him my first year and just he was all over the place and he just tore us apart. I mean, I was fortunate enough to play for a really solid team, but I do know that we were game planning around him and stuff like that. So, and every single year, I mean, he's one of those players that you have to circle on the roster. Who is going to take up that tough matchup and just make sure that he's accounted for.
And I think, he's only been getting, I think, even more, like, I think his game fundamentals have maybe even gotten, certainly been strong the entire time. But the one dimension of his game that seems to be getting better is as he's really started to put in the off-the-field work even more. He's right. working with Moral Performance now.
Yep.
He's in and out of Ocean City. I've seen pictures that the Breeze has been tweeting up a storm at the DC Breeze. He is taking his game both on and off the field very seriously now, and I think that's scary for everyone.
I think that's the direction that the sport's actually being directed towards. Segueing into one of our newer players, Rowan, Matthew McDonald.
I assume I'm going to go out on a limb, his middle name there. Rowan, Matthew.
Not exactly sure.
Matthew, or maybe, I don't know, there's a Rowan... The Warriors of Ronin.
Yeah.
Maybe really identifies with, like, skew, slightly.
Probably. He might be a little young for that, actually. Yeah. But, but either way, I mean, he's a warrior, and he's, like, like that, right?
Yes, well done.
But he, I have only met him a couple of times, but the brief times that I've talked to him, he's actually trying to make Ultimate a full-time job for him, where he's training players, and like
he's a coach of American University's Dirty Ladies women's team.
That they are. He was. He missed our Gulti League today because they're at a tournament. But yeah, he's one of those players that just loves putting in the work off the field, and he's training more and more people to do that. And with Morale Performance happening, and the Rodu Gym in Pittsburgh opening up, Ultimate is definitely taking a life outside of like what's on the field, and that's going to be really huge for our sport.
I think you're right, and I think that's definitely true of our proximity to Morale is a mushroom.
I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah, okay, we'll call it the Big M. So anyhow, like a lot of guys are putting in that type of lifting off the field, and I've seen a lot of pictures of them over in Ocean City, Maryland already going for it. The one thing I would, as long before you leave those three guys behind, the one thing I would say as well is, I don't know the exact circumstances of Goose playing last year, but if you look at actually his numbers over the course of his AUDL career, he actually posted his fewest goals ever last year. And I think maybe his second fewest or fewest assists. So he is coming off a little bit of a down year. And so it will be interesting to see how he kind of responds to that, if he bounces back, if he takes that as a chip on his shoulder to go back out there and get the counting numbers. I think his numbers were still phenomenal. He was a 30-30 guy, assists and scores. But, still will be interesting to see if he takes that as a personal vendetta to just really chew up the East.
Yeah, I really don't think that'll be an issue. I don't think it's going to be on the back of everybody's mind that we're worried about his production because, I mean, him and Bobby and the entire crew from Chicago went really deep in the... at Nationals for the club scene.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's definitely not an issue of performance. It's just maybe just had an off year, and then, I'm sure he's going to bounce back very, very strongly.
Yeah, let's switch gears a little bit and talk about two cutters that are kind of DC old guard at this point. They're truck stop guys for the last 3-plus years, and that's David Cranston, that's Jeff Wodach. Two big, taller guys, two guys that played MLU last year that are going to play for the Breeze this year. What excites you about these two guys? And we've matched up against them in anything from serious situations in D.C. to very casual situations in D.C.
As you can tell, I mean, obviously I am always the deep threat. So, I mean, yeah. I mean standing all, at 5'9". 5'9", yeah, exactly, yeah, right? Yeah. And, not really big vert.
It's about your extreme vertical.
Exactly,
leap,
right?
Yeah, sure.
But, yeah, matching up against these two guys, they are 6+. I mean, I think Cranston's 6'3". I think Wodach matches him. They are just big. They are tall. They're fast, too. I mean, flat out, just running in a straight line. I don't think many people can really catch up to them. So I'm really excited to see them. I'm going to predict that we're going to see them in the end zone quite a lot.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Cranston tends to be the more defensive-minded of the two, and so maybe you don't see as many assists and goals get tallied, but you will see a lot of blocks get tallied.
Right.
He had 11 blocks in the MLU last year. They've got a shorter season over in the MLU, so hopefully with a couple more games, you'd see him breaking 15 this year. And that's a pretty big number on like such a big field.
It is. It is.
15 Ds in less than 15 games is a great turnover rate. And I almost think with Cranston's playing style too, you know, certainly he's got the closing speed and he's a quick guy, but a lot of times he plays like almost a more preventative D style that just makes his man not an option.
Right.
And so maybe that gets a block in another way that isn't quite tallied the same way as like a counting number.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, the thing that that doesn't show up in the stat sheet is team Ds, right? It's when an entire defensive unit is shutting down the entire offensive unit so that there aren't any options. Cranston is huge for that. Wodash, the same. Somebody that we're going to get into in a little bit is Andrew Allen. He's an absolute monster shutdown defender. So defensively, I think that the DC Breeze is going to be extremely physical, big, strong, just really tough to score on.
Yeah, I like you bringing up Andrew Allen because, again, I was kind of talking, you know, we're introducing a lot of new guys on this podcast and throughout the course of the season and throughout the next couple weeks of hot air. Andrew Allen's a guy that maybe we don't need to introduce as much. He's still fun to talk about, but at least he's bringing that intangible, very valuable thing about the Breeze, which is kind of understanding this culture and having played in previous years.
Right. I mean, he had a pretty short season last year. I think he only played like 10 games or something like that, but he ended up being the league leader or the team leader in Ds with, what was it, 22?
I think it was 22 Ds for 2015 for Andrew.
Yep, and he was my AG captain all of last year and just a really huge stand-up guy. Just, I can't talk highly enough about him on defense. He is just an absolute monster. He can run with the fastest people. He can get up and just patrol the air. Even guarding in cuts, he'll lay out past you. I know that a couple of times that just today he wanted to guard me and Golti, and I found it extremely difficult just to get open on like easy resets and in cuts and stuff like that. And speaks highly of somebody that's
moving around a lot of meat.
Yeah,
he's a tall guy, but he's cutting.
He's 6'3". I mean, he's a big dude. So I mean, for him to stay with like a smaller, shorter handler, that speaks highly of him.
Although we were not exactly sure, and we didn't actually put a measuring stick up to these three guys, I'm going to call these the 3 6'3"s.
Yes.
On the team, regardless if I'm shortchanging someone because they might be bigger.
I think they'll be okay with it.
And the thing I would also say, here's what I'll ask you about Andrew Allen as a guy that you've played club with and know pretty well. If you had to give a little over-under, he had 22 Ds last year. The roster around him is getting a lot better.
Right.
So I don't know if that's going to cut his playing time. However, he only played 10 of 14 games last year.
Exactly.
So maybe that'll hold net neutral over the course of a season. He plays a game or two more, but maybe gets a little less playing time in those games. 22 Ds in 2015, over-under, 21.5.
I'm going to go with over. I think that if you surround him with an all-star cast like they have, he's going to get favorable matchups. And I think that he might be able to poach off of some and, you know, get a couple of Ds that he might not have been able to get last year where, you know, the defensive unit might have been a little bit weaker, right?
It's true. It's true. To talk about those three guys and you just insert Cranston onto a D-line, you know, maybe that takes Allen off the top offensive threat,
right.
Puts him on the second or third. That's a matchup that he now owns. It's a matchup that I think, to your point, you know, lets him get in the lane, maybe get a big one.
Exactly, yeah. And I mean, he just has flat out speed, so I think I'm going to guess over.
Yeah, the intangible flat out speed.
Yep.
Yeah, sure. So a couple more names on this list, and I think at the pace we're going, I'm liking the dialogue. I think we're talking a lot about these players. We're just not going to get through the whole roster, which is fine. There will be another Hot Air podcast, probably every two or so weeks moving on out and throughout the season. So we'll get to the rest of the roster on another week. But I would like to talk about like a Nate Castine.
Okay.
He was a defensive minded handler. I talked to him a lot about Neely last week. So if you really want to get kind of a guy from the Seattle scene that can talk about you know, where he comes from a little bit, you can tune in to the previous Hot Air episode, episode 1, 2016. But what are you thinking about Nate Castine this year?
Nate is, I mean, again, just an all-around player. He specializes in defensive handling, like you said, but I really think that he can do some damage downfield as well if he wants to. The only issue that I can see is that I don't actually know because I haven't spoken to Nate since Nationals, but I heard that he tore his ACL at Nationals. So
last year, this is 2015, so he's had... Correct. What, I don't know, five months of recovery, 6 months of recovery, something like that now?
Exactly, yeah. So it's just a matter of him getting healthy and actually being able to perform at 100%.
Yeah.
But again, with an all-star cast like we're talking about with the DC Breeze, he might be able to get, like, a favorable matchup just because of all the talent that's around him. So even, like, an 80, 90% Nate Castine is still going to be...
A very valuable player on the field, yeah.
Exactly.
And so one thing that I noticed of Nate Castine's previous numbers that were put up in previous years at Nationals last year for the club scene in the MLU is he has one of the greatest throw to score ratio
really?
Of any player.
All right.
And so I don't know if that means risk. I don't know if that means that he is just catching the disc in a certain place that really sets up a score very easily. But I wonder, I don't know enough about kind of the, I don't think there's been enough statistics gathered in Ultimate to know if that is a significant finding in someone's stats. So I'll be looking this year to see, you know, how that stacks up, if that's a trend that this particular player exhibits.
Right. I mean, he's been playing at a high level for a high number of years. So, I mean, his ultimate fundamentals and his ultimate IQ have to be through the roof. So it might speak to your point where he's getting into advantageous positions where he can attack the goal from wherever he ends up. So
let's change gears a little bit and get a little bit more speculative.
All right.
So let's talk about, you know, there's 8 more roster spots in this team, give or take a few. I think there in the next week or two, we can expect some exciting press releases on some of those last spots. But roughly 8 spots left on the Breeze. A lot of 2015 players are not signed yet.
Right.
But I think we hope that a couple of them are coming back.
Yeah.
A lot of players that you and I know just have gone to tryouts in general are still in the hunt for one of these coveted spots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are there any players that jump to mind that you would say, you know, I'm very interested to find out if and when this player goes Breeze? And, you know, if you look down this roster so far, I think we just talked about a couple of particularly very good handlers. I don't know. We talked about some great defensive cutters too there.
Yeah.
Is there a player on this group of 20, group of 19 that's missing?
When you talk about truck stop and you talked about, you know, Jeff Wodach and Cranston being staples in the Ultimate community, there's 2 other people that, I mean, other than Markham and Allen, obviously, right?
Sure.
I mean, those are the big signings coming over and everything like that, but they pulled a lot of that truck stop talent over, and 2 people that I see missing are Tom Doy and Brian Marshall. Brian Marshall, defensive specialist, just, he's, again, speed, height, another big body out there. Tom Doy, he's more offensively minded, like, handling wise, and he can put the disc just about anywhere on the field. Again, he can be initial cut, and then throwing into space, he can play defense. I had the fortunate opportunity of playing indoor with him for the past 2 seasons.
Fortunate ability to play with him.
Right.
Unfortunate ability to be against him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
sure.
I mean, he's he's just dominant. He processes the field very, very quickly. He's very quick to throw. Just a very all-around solid player.
Yeah, and I think what I say about Doy particularly, too, is I think he's not small by any means, but he plays even bigger. He's got just like a vertical that is very intimidating. He reads a disc well. He gets it at the apex point of his jump. You know, I've watched him bring down some discs that going up to it, it does not look like he has a business of going over this other guy.
Speaking to that point, my first year playing indoor, I did not really know Tom at all, and I might have shortchanged him a little bit. You know, the first couple of games, I was like, oh, yeah, he's, like, really solid and, you know, super athletic. And a disc went up in the air, and I was like, there's no way. And then somebody on the sideline was like, don't worry, it's Tom.
Don't worry.
Yeah. And I was like, there's absolutely no way that he's going to come
up. A New Yorker emerged from the crowd like, don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. But he just jumped up, seemed like he levitated in the air for a couple seconds and came down with it, and then immediately just started playing again. Like, it was no big deal. Everybody in the stands was freaking out. And I was blown away. And I was like, all right, well, then now I'm just going to throw up a ton of 50-50s to him. So, you know.
It made me a less fundamental player.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. More scoobers, hammers, high-release backhands. Great.
A couple of the guys from last year that I'm interested to see what happens with this year are guys like Antoine Davis,
yep.
A guy like Bryant Dean, two okay. guys that per point last year put up some of the best defensive numbers, per point played last year put up some of the best assists and goals and completion percentages, and they didn't get a ton of playing time last year, but I think if given, you know, a role on this team, they will continue to achieve to those levels, and that could be really valuable. They've proven that they're guys that don't need to play a lot of points to be very impactful to the Breeze.
Yeah, I met Brian, I just at a random tournament somewhere, and a super nice guy, so we just started getting along and everything like that, and then he's one of those players that just continuously getting better and better, stronger, faster, jumps higher. He's put in the off the field work. He works with the big M because I don't want to
yeah.
pronounce that again. But yeah, he's one of those people that really, really works at it, and it's showing big dividends. So I would love to see him on the field again. And again, another big strong body. So this team's stacking up to be just monstrous.
Yeah, I'm looking right now. I just kind of threw together some stats of season high stats for the DC Breeze. And so guys that haven't been announced to be coming back yet this year that have put together kind of top 10 seasons in terms of the DC Breeze. If I look down, let's see, like points played, Daniel Whitehat Selwyn has,
right.
You know, in 2013 put up the second most points played for the Breeze ever in franchise history. In 2015, put up the fourth highest, so last year, put up the fourth highest points ever played in franchise history. And him particularly is all over this. He's the highest ever season catches for the Breeze. And career, if you look at his career stats as well, he's the top assists all-time DC Breeze. He's four away from 100. You'd love to see him be the first player to 100 if he gets, you know, signed to play this year.
That'd be great.
You know, top D's per point guys. You know, it was Brian Dean's right up there. Mikey Moses coming in at number six.
Okay.
Another interesting guy that maybe you hand him just a limited amount of points can make the most out of it. So I think there's a lot of interesting players from previous years that are currently unsigned. You know, a guy that's played all three seasons on Breeze so far, Matt Skunk Ruddy,
yeah.
Is a guy that's on here for most catches of all time, number four all-time career. For the DC Breeze. So there's guys out here that would be really interesting to continue to follow their stories, and I think they could play a valuable role
right.
If they get handed the keys.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, especially with Whitehat and Skunk. Those guys have been around in DC, or playing for the DC Breeze for the past, I think, were they originals?
They're all three years of Breeze so far.
Exactly, and they've had to take on major roles in every single season, and now when you bring in these people that are just absolute monsters. It's going to be interesting to see how these roles are delegated because, you know, Whitehat, he had to touch the disc so many times, and same with Skunk as well. You know, both of those guys were just workhorses and just touched the disc all the time. Now they might not get all those touches. They might not be effective, but there's still people that I would love to see on this team.
Yeah, I'd love to see some of those guys. And Glenn Poole's another one that I should mention why I'm here for top assists, number three all-time franchise history with 37. I think some of those guys, interesting, they've got big counting numbers. And they played a couple seasons. Maybe naturally they're going to be on top. But also, I think, you know, to what I mentioned earlier, and I think the point that maybe is worth reiterating is guys that have already proven very valuable in role play.
Right.
They top D's per point, top assists per point, or assists per throw. They don't need many touches. They don't need many points to make a real impact.
Right.
And so I think those are the guys that the numbers really shine a light on for me.
Yep.
Okay, so I want to wrap it up here. We've gone maybe over our goal time, but that's more content for you guys out there in podcast land. You're welcome. Future podcast probably coming out in another 2 weeks. This was Hot Air. I'm Greg Esser.
I'm Kevin Chang.
Kevin Chang's by my side. Thank you, Breeze Sponsors. Thank you to our intro music. It is the lovely band that will probably be joining us at some time this season to play the halftime show, Brooke Royals. I think that's everything I need. Adios.